Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
Hey, well, hello, and welcome to Tara Marie Live. I'm fitness expert and personal trainer Tara Marie Segundo. Now, have you ever dreamed of a better life, or at least wished that you could change certain aspects of your life? Maybe you'd like to find a life partner or lose weight. Maybe you want to break through mental blocks that are holding you back, or even heal your body of a chronic ailment. Whatever the case may be, our guest today says that she can teach you to create your own reality using the power of imagery. I'm so privileged to have joining me today Dr. Jennifer LaMonica. She's a chiropractor in private practice in Mineola, New York, and has been serving the community as a holistic doctor since 1984. In addition to her advanced chiropractic expertise, she's also a certified clinical nutritionist, a licensed acupuncturist, and an image therapist certified by the American Institute of Mental Imagery. Dr. LaMonica is also a face morphologist, which means that she uses an ancient form of diagnosis based on the physiognomy of the face. Dr. LaMonica, you've got to tell me how to pronounce that, which also allows her to find the hidden cause of disease that would otherwise remain undetected and untreated. In her 27 years of clinical experience, Dr. LaMonica has integrated her eclectic chiropractic techniques with both Eastern and Western philosophies. She was one of the first trainees in the chiropractic technique total body modification and is the creator of neuro-emotional technique known as NET. Dr. LaMonica, welcome.
Thank you, Tara.
I am so happy to have you. Now, you guys, in full disclosure, I have known Dr. LaMonica 12 years, possibly going on 13, right, Dr. LaMonica?
Mm-hmm.
12, yeah, I met her when I was 33. I was referred to Dr. LaMonica because I was working with a gentleman who I've already had on this show, Dr. John O'Neill, who's an acupuncturist and an energy worker down in Florida, and he knew of Dr. LaMonica. I had moved up here to New York City, and I was very, very sick at the time, and I was referred to Dr. LaMonica, and Dr. LaMonica's done really remarkable things in my life and in my health. And so, you know, when I'm talking to Dr. LaMonica, you guys should know I've already known this woman. Like, you're practically family, right, Dr. LaMonica? I've known her for 12 years. But there's so many things, Dr. LaMonica, that you do in your practice. You're not just a chiropractor. Today we're talking about imagery and the power of imagery. And I know that you're very passionate about this.
I truly am. I encountered this in 1985 with a man by the name of Dr. Gerald Epstein, who wrote the book Healing Visualizations and Healing into Immortality, Waking Dream. He actually has 7 published books. When I met him, it was in the context of learning face morphology. We were a group of chiropractors who sat together and started to understand that the faces can reveal what's going on in the body physically, as well as personality traits and inclinations that you're born with.
And I messed up that word in the opening.
And the word is physiognomy.
And what does that mean?
That means that the physical function and form can give rise to the physiology downstairs or inside or throughout your entire body. So it's a way of looking at the physical traits, the sacred geometric shapes of the face, and be able to understand what's going on inside the person.
Well, I think one of the first things, if I remember correctly, and we've laughed about this before, in our first visit together when I was 33 years old, I remember part of your, when you were diagnosing me, basically, you did not know me from Adam.
Correct.
You said, let me look at your face. And you looked at my face from the front, and then you looked at both profiles.
Correct. So the profile, the left profile, is generally what you're born with, and it shows you the basic temperaments. Now, this is based on biblical understanding. There was a prophet by the name of Ezekiel who was given a vision, and on his vision there was a chariot with 4 different posts, and on the post were creatures, one with the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of an ox, and the face of an angel. That's been extrapolated, especially in the French way of working. The French have most of the documentation on this. It's been extrapolated that those are the 4 archetypes of man or woman.
Say them again then, angel.
Okay, so it's an angel, an eagle, a lion, and an ox.
Got it.
Each one represents the embryological derivation of us as we're developing in utero. We are predominantly one, and then secondary and third and fourth, the others. So you can tell by a person's profile what their archetype is. For instance, a sanguine, which is the lion, would be one who is, gives rise to very strong muscles, and they're very analytical. They tend to be quite jovial, whereas a lymphatic, which is more endodermal, is the ox.
Which one was I?
The sanguine.
Oh, I was, okay.
I mentioned that first.
Okay.
And then you have the bilious, which is the angel, which gives rise to the liver gallbladder, and then you have the nervous, which is the eagle. Now, let's say, for instance, a person comes in with a headache, and they come in, and most generally, if a person goes with a headache, the medical traditional way to handle this is to give a pill for the headache. However, if you look at the physiognomy of the individual, and you know that that person is a sanguine, you're already understanding that that headache must be derived from some form of blood dyscrasia, not dyscrasia, actually, but maybe a blood problem. If you look at the person and they're an eagle, it may come from the nervous system. If you look at the person and they're a bilious, it may come from their liver or gallbladder. And if you look at the person, it might come from an endocrine dysfunction. Now, the Chinese have understood this for millennia, but this is the Western biological way of looking at this. The Chinese have been doing this for over 5,000 years, looking at faces and being able to understand. They also integrate within that, which is something that I've grown to use as well, the understanding of where the meridians might be in the face to determine where the particular headache is coming from. So the combination of the two worlds has proved quite successful for me.
Well, let me ask you this. You know how, okay, so basically, can you also, like, because I know that you've done this, I've seen you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've shown you pictures of people,
yeah,
various people, and I showed you pictures of a family, different family members in the context of helping me figure out ailments that may be going on. You can even, and I know this sounds wacko to people, but I swear I've seen you do it with 100% accuracy. This is why I bring it up. You've looked at pictures of people,
yeah,
and said to me, such and such is going on medically, and then it's been later corroborated by doctors.
Correct. So you're able to look in the face and actually see the predisposition towards certain weaknesses and strengths. It's not to say that they may always express themselves, because that's the idea of free will. Let's say, for instance, your ancestors had a weakness in the liver, and that may show up on your face, but you've been so fastidious in your life that you do everything that you can not to toxify your liver, then you don't have to manifest that particular presentation in this lifetime. But oftentimes, the predisposition towards that liver weakness might be accompanied by certain behavioral aspects, like, for instance, anger or frustration that one falls prey to, and they don't even understand why. For instance, I've had a patient who said, I can't control my anger. But it turned out that every time the anger was evolving, it meant that her liver was extremely toxic and her gallbladder was tight. Now, she thought that the anger was coming from her son or her mother or her father or husband or whatever, and it was a circumstantial event. But it really turned out that it was physiological. She actually was toxic in that particular organ, and that organ works with the emotion. Now, the Chinese understood that, and that's how I had come up with the technique of NET, neural emotional technique, because they understood, for instance, that the kidney would be representative of fear or working with fear, whereas the liver would be anger and frustration, the heart would be hate or love, and that, you know, the spleen might be associated with worry. And this now dovetails with the morphological characteristics that we know, because when I said earlier, you can read the face and understand a little bit of the personality. The personality is often shown through the particular archetype, and that archetype feeds to the particular organs in their development.
So in other words, if I may interrupt,
yes,
what I'm hearing you say is, let's say I come into you and I have frustration and anger issues, and most people think that I'm just a raging bitch. But really, what you probably do is, in your practice, you would go, you'd look at me, and then you would possibly see that I have an archetype that errs toward liver issues, and then you would probably deal with treating my liver, and then the anger would dissipate.
correct. And there are many ways and many portals of entry to that healing, which brings us to the power of imagery. Imagery basically is thinking in pictures. And so what happens is, let's say you do come in with an anger issue, and I understand that you have a problem with your liver, so one portal of approach would be to nutritionally guide you to perhaps take some milk thistle or clean the liver out, have some blood tests, see where the enzymes are, and understand truly what's going on with that liver, or see if you have any gallstones, and so forth. To feel the pulses through the acupuncture meridians and understand whether or not they're truly facilitated, and look at all the other associated liver energies that are going on. But then I could give you an imagery exercise where you can actually cleanse your liver. And this is the thing that has been understood but eliminated in American medicine and is now, thank God, coming back. But what happened was, in years past, millennia past, many of the cultures understood that what you thought in your mind and how you saw things actually can become manifest in the physical, and there was not a split between body and mind.
Well, and don't you agree that, and I've heard Deepak Chopra say this, that for every thought there is a physiological, there's literally a physiological response?
It's not only is that anecdote, but that's actually been proven.
Okay.
They can actually see now that there are certain thought chemicals that are associated. For instance, I mean, I know the buzzword now in modern health is inflammation, and that's true, and it's been true for many years. However, they actually have a scene that leukotrienes and cytokines and prostaglandins are secreted with emotions and thoughts.
And explain to the people what are leukotrienes.
Okay, these are chemicals that are found in the body that go into the pain response, and it's a cascade of 27 different chemicals that ultimately ends up in pain and can also end up in plaquing and can also end up in cell death and can also end up in aging. You see, and so the from the nutritional point of view, we try to deflame our diet by eliminating all of the insults to that, which would be white flour, white sugar, lots of red meat, hormones, chemicals, and so forth like that. From an imagery point of view, we would put the person into a cleansing process. From an emotional point of view, we want to bring them into a level of self-awareness so they understand the habits and the inclinations of themselves. You see, I'm going back again to the Bible. It says in Deuteronomy 18 that you carry the errors of the ancestors to the fourth generation.
Yeah, you told me that part. Yeah,
correct. And so what happens is that I interpreted it to say that is happening on the level of the DNA. So your ancestors have had a inclination toward a particular way of being. And if you look at families often, you'll see that they're all pretty much the same type.
So, yeah. For better or for worse.
Correct. Yeah. And so when you look at that type, you'll see that the errors of these particular family members are carried on from generation to generation. Then there'll be someone who'll come into the family and decide, you know, I really don't want to act that way. I recognize that mom was this way, dad was this way, and I don't want to be that way anymore. So they make a concerted effort. They go through spiritual practice, discipline, or whatever they have to do, therapy, and they try to figure out themselves. And as they do, they make a correction of the inclination. That correction now becomes a blessing. A blessing not only to the parents, but to any progenitors, which would be children or thoughts or creations that the person has created in their life. And it goes back, actually, to the people who have even passed on. So you really kind of, quite frankly, have a cheering team from above sending you all the credit in the world, hoping that you're going to continue to do things in the correct way to change your inclination so that you can become the person that breaks that chain of pain.
Right. So, again, we are set up with the potentiality, but that's not necessarily your destiny.
Correct.
Potentiality is not destiny.
Correct.
I should trademark that, right?
That's very good.
It's true, because I say this in my I say this to my clients. I'm just a trainer. I have no MD after my name, but basically, I hate when my clients, they concede, if you will. They're just fat. Okay, they're fat, and they go, well, but everybody in my family's fat. Mom's fat, my sisters are fat. Okay, and it's almost like they resign themselves. And I always tell them, yes, we're predisposed to things. And, you know, what you're talking about now is behavioral stuff or, you know, tendencies toward whatnot. Physically, we're predisposed to a lot of things. It doesn't mean that that needs to become your reality.
Absolutely. And also, it really sets up another thing, and that is called intention. You know, it depends on the individual's level of awareness and their intention and their wish to be connected to their own truth. See, very often we are living in a society where many of the world authorities are dictating what the standards and ideals are. So a certain shape, a certain look. And if you look through culture, you'll see that culturally there were people that were heavier and healthy, but now the culture is very, very yielded toward the thin model. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that thin is in. It just means that that's particularly the standard and ideal. And it also doesn't mean that obesity is right, because that's any extreme is going to throw everybody off. But when you look at the different archetypes, for instance, a lymphatic is generally always going to be about 20 pounds more heavy than a typical ectoderm. Now, you'll notice, did you ever notice, like you'll see people in families or you'll see friends and they're going into a restaurant and they eat like crazy but they don't gain an ounce? And yes, it's true. We know that people like you who are constantly moving and burning up the calories are going to maintain a certain level of thinness. But there are others that don't do a thing and are thin.
Yeah.
Then there are others that eat very lean and are heavy, and that is predisposed in the familial genetic plan. And it also goes back, I mean, generation after generation after generation. But there has to be a willingness of the individual to become self-realized, and that is, we want to look at the glyph, and I use this word, and it's like in the hieroglyph. The glyph is the symptom. The glyph is the thing that's out of balance in your life. You look at that glyph, and you want to see if you can actually make a change. So you look at yourself repetitively in certain circumstances, like no matter what relationship you go in, it always ends up the same way. Or no matter what schooling you go to, you always end up with the same errors. Or the certain difficulties you have in your life represent some core beliefs and actually some genetic predispositions and also morphological archetypes that are going to get you to be that way. But you can unfold that and reverse it. And that's what became so exciting to me when I met Dr. Gerald Epstein and his teacher from Israel, whom I also met, was Madame Colette Abulkama-Scott. She has passed away. However, this woman was one of the most kindest, loving women I ever met, who understood this work. She was like an embodiment of this work. And you could see in her ancestry, as a matter of fact, her ancestry was dated back to the line of David. And this woman was one of the rare women in the Sephardic Jewish tradition who was actually given the information in a spiritual blessing passing that came from her father, because generally in that tradition it only went from father to son. But because there wasn't a son to give it to, they gave it to her, and she was actually able to carry this wisdom from generation to generation.
And that is that of imagery?
Yeah, imagery, morphology, and waking dream.
Well, let's talk about this. So you've told us the origins of imagery.
Yes.
And again,
well, actually, there are more origins of imagery, because if you look back in history, even to a millennia, they were doing it in Africa, Tibet, India. Native American Indians, Eskimos used the power of imagery. What happened is in Europe, in about, you know, in the 1600s, the thought movement changed, and the people in the later date, believe it or not, in the 1800s, Freud was using imagery before he went into traditional psychoanalytic therapy. But the real father in this country, coming from Europe, was Carl Jung. He was that. And there was a man by the name of Robert Desoyer. D-E-S-O-I-L-L, accent aigu on the E. And this man actually was doing waking dream work in France. And now that work became the sort of cornerstone of the imagaic work that we use today.
And you're saying that, okay, so imagery has been around as long as time.
Correct.
What, and again, the name of the show today is The Power of Imagery. We do have to go to break in about a minute. But before we go to break, because when we come back, I want to really delve into what it is and how to do it and how to use it immediately.
Wonderful.
Give one quick, again, definition. It's just real, it's almost like
The simplest definition of imagery is making mental pictures.
It sounds a lot like just good old-fashioned daydreaming.
There is a distinction, but it's close.
Got it. All right, you guys, we're going to go to break. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. You're listening to Tara Marie Live, and today we've got Dr. Jennifer LaMonica. She's a chiropractor and an acupuncturist and a certified image therapist, and we're going to be back in about a minute. We'll talk to you then.
Tara Marie Segundo is a sought-after fitness expert with over 25 years in the business. Tara Marie can help you lose weight, change bad habits, break through mental blocks, and design an exercise program for your busy life. On-site personal training is available in New York City, or schedule a phone consultation to answer all of your questions about reaching your fitness goals. Visit TaraMarie.com or call 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221, or visit TaraMarie.com.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Tara Marie Segundo, and thank you for tuning in to Tara Marie Live. You guys, today we're with Dr. Jennifer LaMonica, and we're talking about the power of imagery. Now, Dr. LaMonica, so you defined imagery. Give another quick definition in case someone's just tuning in.
So it's thinking in mental pictures.
Got it. How do we do it?
So this is this particular way of doing imagery is interesting because you do it very quickly, and there are particular ways to do it that are very important. For instance, one should be sitting upright. Now, this leads to the idea that you're accessing your intuition through what's called the vertical axis. I need to make this distinction. The world is made of a cause and effect reality. It's the man-made world. It's logic. It's limited. But when you access through the vertical reality, you're accessing your higher being. You're accessing all that is divine. And you're bypassing the man-made thought stream. So you're actually giving yourself an opportunity to become your own authority. So the images that are going to come to you are coming from your directed intention.
Vertical reality meaning your connection to the divine.
Correct. So you sit in an upright posture, and you imagine that your back is straight. Now, you can see this in any of the cultures. When the Jews are davening, they make sure that their spine is straight. When you're doing chiropractic, you make sure your spine is straight. When you're sitting in meditation, your spine is straight. When you're praying, your spine is straight. So the idea is that it's coming from above down, in and out. Now, we talked a little bit about the way that you breathe when you do imagery exercises. The posture that I'm referring to dates back to Egypt, and it's called the Pharaoh's posture. So you can imagine what that looks like, a posture that's strong, sitting upright, and has almost its own authority within it.
Regal.
Regal, yes. So now what you do is you are going to do what's called reverse breathing. And the reason for this, and I'll give you a quick little description, is that you have an area of the brain, and this has been scientifically identified. It's called the locus coeruleus. And when that locus coeruleus is engaged in your daily thought, it's actually a pink color. But when you breathe out, you clear the locus coeruleus, and now you're able to imprint an image onto that particular part of the brain, and that mind-body connection that we spoke of earlier will be engaged to the point where your image can actually change your physiology. So the very thing that made me interested in imagery is the ability to actually heal, the ability to actually make a physiological change, a mental change, a personality change, an emotional change, because you're actually able to impose a thought upon yourself in the form of an image that's going to change your physiology. The actual doing of it requires you to do what's called reverse breathing. So you start with an out-breath, meaning no matter where you are in your respiratory cycle, just like I'm talking, I go out.
And breathe out.
Breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, in through the nose, out through the mouth.
And you do that three times.
Do that three times. Then you close your eyes and you do your imagery. The imagery is generally taught to you, but it's supposed to be done quickly. You really needn't spend more than 30 to 60 seconds. It's different from hypnosis. It's different from guided imagery. It's different from reverie or daydreaming. You ask
people, but see, the good news is in today's world, if you tell people it's only 30 to 60 seconds, they'll probably do it.
Correct.
Because what, to be honest with you, what turns me off is when people always want to try to get me to meditate, and they're like, all you have to do is for 60 minutes sit still in a room by yourself. What? What 60 minutes? What? Where? When? I mean, you know?
Exactly, exactly. But this can be done very quickly. The faster you do it, the less chance you have of making an error. Now, when I speak of the error, what happens is that very often our mind wants to entrap us. There are things called subpersonalities, egos, egregores, or false selves. And the way that we can be cued into those false selves and know that it's a mind thing or it's coming from the ego that's connected to the man-made world is usually the tense of the language that's spoken. For instance, if you hear in your head, if I do this, then that's going to happen, and it's conditional future, or when I did that, it's conditional past, that's generally a cue that you're not connected to your own higher being or you're not in present time consciousness. And in order to do the imagery effectively, you want to breathe out three times, which means that you are now engaging your parasympathetic nervous system, overriding the sympathetic nervous system, and you're allowing your body to go into a healing state. Then you're impregnating this image onto the locus coeruleus, and physiologically, something is going to happen in your body.
Now, this just occurred to me. I just want to say this because in case we talked about it, I want to just tell people again. So the reverse breathing, you guys, if you're listening, you sit up straight, you start with an out-breath. Wherever you are in your respiratory cycle, you start with an exhale, then you inhale through your nose and exhale through your mouth three times.
Correct.
That's the quick way of saying it.
Correct.
Okay, so it begins with upright posture, exhale. Inhale through nose, exhale through mouth three times, and then we begin.
Okay, so now let me, if I can, one of the biggest aspects of healing is really about cleansing. I mean, everybody talks about cleanses. They talk about doing detoxification programs, detoxification baths, and so forth. And one of the most purest imagery exercises that I love to give is about cleansing. Now, if you go back in history, you'll see that the Egyptians had, in all of their healing, everyone had to bathe. The Romans are known for their baths. You know that you can go to certain sacred areas and dip yourself into the waters.
Or even a baptism.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Everything is about is healing through the cleansing process. So I think that we can do a very small imagery right now.
Okay.
If I guide it. So I'll ask everybody if you can. If you're driving, you cannot do it. But what you want to do is sit in an upright posture.
And can I say this? Because I don't want anybody to feel left out. If you're diseased or disabled, you can lie down, right? I mean, because there's some people that can't sit
up. If they cannot sit up, then they can do this. But guess what they can do?
What?
Imagine that they're sitting up.
Okay, because I know people personally that can't sit up.
So. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay, and they can imagine that they're sitting up.
Okay.
The wonderful thing of imagery is that you can create your own circumstances and reality. Well, let's say, for instance, that you're doing a guided imagery, and the practitioner will say to you, go into a darkened cave, and they say, I don't see anything, it's black. Well, guess what the practitioner can say? Bring a light. It's your imagery. You can shine the light upon it and then see what gets revealed. You don't have to let your mind trap you. This is so simple, and it's so easy, and so wonderful, and so miraculous that I don't know why everybody doesn't do it.
Well, I've always said, you know, I have a really great life in my head.
Yes.
You know what I mean? No, seriously, I'm so good looking, and I am so popular and rich, and this all goes on in my mind.
Absolutely.
But it's great.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we would just sit in the upright posture.
Okay.
And make sure that your hands are not clenched, but you will have to hold the phone to hear me, or actually listen to, you're listening through the internet, so you don't have to hold the phone. I'm sorry. So now what you do is start with an out-breath. In the nose, out of the mouth, and again, and out. And now see, sense, and feel yourself under a pristine waterfall. And imagine that the water is washing upon you and in you and throughout your entire body. And now see, sense, and feel all of the impurities coming out of your fingertips and toes, and let that run through until the water runs clear. Then open your eyes.
Got it. Almost like the water at first is coming out mucky.
Correct.
And then it comes out in like a clear, beautiful blue.
Beautiful.
Blue water, and it's clear water, and then you open your eyes.
Correct. And now what you've done, in effect, is cleansed yourself.
And do that for about a 30-second period. We kind of hastened it.
Correct.
For this. Okay, so you do it for about 30 seconds.
You could do it for as long as it takes for your water to run clear.
Got it. We have to go to break. We'll come right back on that thought.
Got
you guys, we're going to go to break. We're with Dr. Jennifer LaMonica talking about the power of imagery. Thanks for tuning in today, and we will be right back. Okay, now, Dr. LaMonica, welcome back. We were talking during the break, so I forgot that we just came back. This is Tara Marie Segundo. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. We're with Dr. Jennifer LaMonica talking about the power of imagery. Now, Dr. LaMonica, just before the break, we did a visual imagery that you guided us through, and again, you said that the imagery itself takes 30 to 60 seconds or so. Just very quickly, because I want to get on to the real power of it. Do you do this once a day? What do you do?
Well, so there's an actual technique here, because it takes about 21 days for a habit to be established in the brain. So we do it three times a day for 21 days, and the preferred times would be in the morning, like, you know, get up, do what you have to do, but before breakfast. And then you would have it around dusk time before dinner, and then at night before sleeping. So you want it kind of basically on a clean mind or clean body, and you just do this imagery, and it takes just a few of your seconds in your life. And you don't want to be so committed to 10 seconds or 30 seconds or 60 seconds, because your intention in the imagery is going to guide you as to how long it will take. For instance, there are some imagery exercises where you actually go back and reverse events, maybe traumatic events that happened to you in your life. And as you recall the event and you're doing the reversing, you may remember something else, or you may remember something else, and you might have to do that, in which case that might be a 45-second or 60-second imagery. Whereas in other cases, you may go in and it'll be only 10 seconds because you just have to go in. Let's say, for instance, that you're driving or you're in a situation where anger prevails. Well, you can just actually, by breathing out three times, not even imaging, you can change your physiological state. Because when you're in a state of adrenaline release, you're in what's called a sympathetic dominant nervous system. And by breathing out, you bring yourself into parasympathetic dominant, and what that does is relaxes you. Now you can take it a step further and use analogically, or meaning by analogy, you can see the color that's associated with anger. So let's say in your mind you're imagining your anger to be red or black or some color like that. Well, you just take that color, you blow it out, push it to the left and behind you, and see another color come through. And you may see a green or a blue. You're done. That could take all of 5 to 10 seconds.
And again, because you're driving, we want to keep our eyes open.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you're in a situation where you're with a family member and the family member's really getting your ire up. You know, so you just, and you don't want to do, and you just know if you engage right now, it's going to turn into World War III. So you're just standing there, breathe out three times, your eyes are open, you're still in conversation, just see the color of the conversation, push it to the left and behind you, see a new color come. And now I'm telling you that actually the person who's directing the anger towards you is going to perceive the energetic shift in the room.
Right.
Because you're not engaging. Okay?
Got it.
So some of these imagery exercises are profound and powerful. There goes the power of imagery, because now you are becoming the master of your own emotions and the master of your own environment, and you're setting the intentions of what you want. But it takes what they call in Hebrew the shomir, the looker or the watcher. You have to become disidentified from yourself for a moment to see what's going on. You have to notice, wait a minute, I don't want to be in this particular mental posture right now. I don't want to engage in this right now. So I'm going to do something for myself to shift this mood or to shift this physiological state. Let's say, for instance, that you...
having a fight with your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Correct.
Okay.
You're having a fight with your boyfriend or girlfriend. You do not want to really go down that pathway. Just breathe out three times and maybe have a mental image of it shifting. You may see the circumstances of the fight changing so that that person now sees the beauty, or you remember what you fell in love about. Just change it in a moment, in an instant. It can take 5 to 10 seconds. And as your body posture changes, the other person changes.
That is cool. Now, you said in the pre-interview that we can reverse anything in our lives and become our own healers. You also said something that to some people is going to seem far-fetched, that we can create our own reality.
So, yes. Well, you know, we can... I'm going to speak about both of those things. What you can't change reality in a way that, like, I can go in and change the matter of the door that I'm looking at and, you know, change it into another way. However, if I have an associated memory with that, tripping over that door on a holiday and spilling a whole tray of drinks, I'm going to have a certain feeling toward that door. What I can shift is the constellation of that emotion surrounding that door.
Got it. I do. Can I tell you this? Because I don't know if I told you. I think I have told you this just one-on-one. I'm a very high-stress person. I'm very high-strung. And I learned from my mother, God rest her soul, to react a certain way to stress. And that is to freak out. Okay? And, you know, she's just, we're Sicilian. Okay? It is what it is. It's my morphological physiognomy. It's going to be. All right, so from my mother I learned that when stress occurs, you wig out. It has not served me well. But recently what I learned, and I told you, I actually learned this from one of my clients, who will remain nameless, but I try to learn from everybody I encounter. I learned from one of my clients who has a really high-stress life, and to him it's all just a big game. You'd think he was playing a game, how little he cares about this stuff. And I observed him in front of me deal with things, and I just observe him watch stuff roll off his back, and not through necessarily imagery, but almost through imitation.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of took on, I decided I like the way he lives.
But let me correct that.
Is that imagery?
It is imagery.
Okay.
See, because you're seeing that picture in your mind.
Okay.
All right? That is imagery. You're seeing it.
I'm seeing myself react differently.
Right. You see, language is kind of a step behind imagery. What happens is that you get an idea in an image, and then you describe that image through language and words.
So in other words, what you just said is, before I even stated it, I observed him doing it, and I pictured myself doing it.
Correct.
Without even making a conscious awareness of picturing myself doing it.
Correct.
Okay, so by saying I adopted it, you're saying I saw it, I did it, I imitated it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Right, and that had a specific intention. The specific intention, and this is the same thing, like if you're doing your imagery, let's say, for instance, that everyone chooses to do the waterfall imagery for the next 21 days.
To cleanse their body.
That's their intention. Before they do it, they're setting an intention. I'm doing this imagery with the intention of cleansing my body. So you're directing yourselves to receive that treatment.
Got it.
Okay. And so now getting back to your earlier question, which is like far-fetched changing the reality.
Yeah, let's talk about that one first, and then we'll talk about healing.
So when you set your intention, you literally make an imprint on the universe. And when you make that imprint on the universe, I believe that the universe is going to respond like in kind. Now, if we go back to Plato, in the 16th, well before that, Plato in his thinking said that we are microcosms of the entire universe. Do you know what that means? It means that we as a body are acting in the same way that the universe and our community and our nation and everything is working. They call that a fractal relationship.
Got it.
Okay? So that fractal relationship has an imprint on what's going on out there. If we can have the wherewithal to direct our thoughts in such a way, then the imprint that we make on the universe has a reverberatory effect where that universe now reacts upon us in like manner.
Dr. LaMonica, let me stop you there. We're going to come right back. You guys, we have to go to break. Stay tuned. We're going to be right back. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. We've got Dr. Jennifer LaMonica. Okay, Dr. LaMonica, we're talking about the power of imagery. Now, just before we went to break, we were talking about creating our own reality. And again, you emphasized we can't. Like, in other words, I can't magically make myself taller or this or that, but we can create, by creating your own reality, you mean creating, it's almost, you're creating your own emotional reality around what is. Is that fair?
I don't know if that's exactly accurate, because I do know that there are yogis who can manifest physical things through the, through the ethers, but I'm not one of those people, but I can't say that someone else wouldn't be that way, so I don't want to limit.
Well, here's a good example. Let me say this.
Okay.
You know that right now I have a family situation that's kind of contentious.
Yes.
Correct. And you also know that I can't change it because it has nothing to do with any of my behaviors. It's something that's going on.
Right.
I think what you're trying to say is, while I can't change what they are doing that's upsetting to me,
right,
I can change my relationship to that.
Absolutely.
That's what you mean by creating my own reality.
Correct.
Okay, got it.
Correct. Very good. That's well put.
Because it seems a little bit far-fetched. Like, again, people are suffering right now. The economy sucks. You know what I mean?
Right. And I think that, you know, we're 100% suggestible 100% of the time. So we're all involved in the media and the hype and everything that's going on. And I don't mean to be Pollyanna, but I do believe that if people had a more positive outlook and that collective consciousness was put out into the universe, then people wouldn't be suffering as much.
And what you said just before we went to break, I'm glad you brought up collective consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You said that, you know, Plato, you said it was, said
yes,
that we are microcosms of the world. So basically what you're saying is, you know, the old saying, like, if we each change, the world will change. So in other words, whatever's going on in my mind and my emotional state, if we all worked on changing our emotional states and our minds and becoming peaceful within ourselves, that's collective consciousness. Our world would then be reflected in the world.
And I want to dovetail that with imagery. You see, with imagery, you can actually do this on your own because it's your own images. You find your own information. You become your own authority. You tap into all that is known in the universe and not just collective consciousness, but all that is in the divine. You know, they say that when we were born in non-physical, that we knew everything, and then an angel kisses us on the forehead, and now we have to stumble through the world trying to remember everything that we used to know. But in the world, there's, since Newtonian physics in 1650, they gave us a cause and effect physical reality that said if A, then B. But what we're saying is that there is another way. There's a third way, and that third way comes from intuition. That third way comes from the power of imagery.
And you talk about, and unfortunately, we have to have you back because we only have about 3 more minutes to talk in this segment, but so you're coming back, I'm already telling you.
Okay.
And you have to say yes because I know where you live, really, you know what I mean, that we can become our own healers.
That's right. And imagine just knowing that your symptom is not something to worry about or not something to fear, but something that's teaching you. The symptom that you have is saying that your body is out of balance. So you look at the symptom, you have gratitude for the symptom, and then you do something to reverse it.
Well, and again, going back to biblical, in Thessalonians, it says that we have to be grateful for everything.
That's right.
Right? Yeah.
That's right. And I just imagine how wonderful it is for you to be your own authority. It's just extraordinary. It's like we're always going to parent, teacher, preacher, and we're always looking for everybody else's opinions. And okay, that's wonderful for social situations, but at the same time, the power is within you.
So if someone is, God forbid, suffering with, they just found out they had, somebody listening to this show just found out that she has breast cancer.
Right.
Okay.
So that person now is going to go into all the collective consciousness of all the possibilities of bad things that could happen because every day that she watches television or every day that she listens to someone else's story, she's going to become cemented with the idea that it's hopeless when basically that is only a form of decay. Now, you have to do everything that you have to do, but at the same time, she would now use the power of imagery to discreate that. And I'll tell you a story about this. A friend of mine whose father was supposed to go into surgery because he had a lung cancer tumor, she called me up and said, what do I do? My father's going in. He's got 2 weeks before he goes in for the surgery. I said, well, what has he got to lose? Do an imagery. Get rid of it. He did the imagery exercise. He got rid of the tumor. And when they went in to do him right before pre-op, it was gone.
You swear? That's
yes,
true?
That's absolutely true.
In 2 weeks?
The man was able to do that. And this is an 83-year-old man who never did imagery in his life. Okay? I'm not saying that it cures anything. I cannot say that legally. I'm saying you do everything that you have to do. But what I'm saying is that it works.
You're saying, by do everything you have to do, you're not saying shun medical.
Absolutely.
You're saying
not. You must go to the doctor. You must find out your information. You must do what you have to do. But you can also add this to your repertoire and become your own authority and heal yourself.
That's That's brilliant.
And use the Western world to prove your success.
If you have 30 more seconds, say something here. And you have 30 seconds. I hate to put pressure on you because we have to go to break.
30 seconds is use imagery in your life. Don't be afraid of it. Become your own authority. Be open to the world of intuition and the divine. And God bless everybody.
Aw, and I love Dr. LaMonica. I call her Dr. LaMomica. Because when my mother died, God rest her soul, I needed a mother, and I picked her. Which is sweet and creepy because she's only 12 years older than I am. Okay, it's time for the tarot tip of the day. You guys, my tarot tip of the day is to imagine a better life. The late, great John Lennon said it best. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. I believe that if you can conceive it, you can achieve it. I learned in my years as a pro figure competitor that what I do with my mind is as, if not more important, as what I do with my body. There's a saying, where the mind goes, the body will follow. From my perspective as a personal trainer, I emphasize this to my clients. See what you want to achieve in great detail and lock in that image. Let your brain marinate in that image and live as though you've already attained your goal. Everything you accomplish in your life begins with thought. Train your thinking to get what you want. If you want to see miracles happen, you must first imagine a better life. We will be right back. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. You've listened to Tara Marie Live. We are so grateful to have had you, Dr. LaMonica, on the program.
And thank you very much.
Thank you so much, my sweets. We're going to have you back, too, all right? I'm going to book you as soon as we get off the phone. You guys, you're going to want to contact Dr. LaMonica. Now, she does phone consultations. She does have a chiropractic practice here in Long Island, New York, and it's very busy. But she also does a lot of work on the phone with patients, and you can contact her. You can call her office number at 516-746-2025. That's 516-746-2025. Or go to her website, drlamonica.com. Doctor, it's drlamonica.com. Again, she does very brilliant phone consultations, and she really can help you change your life. She has changed my life. For information about my upcoming guests and show titles, visit the archive page for Tara Marie Live right here on HealthyLife.net and sign up for my website, TaraMarie.com. You'll get my free ebook when you sign up, The Most Overlooked Solution for Weight Loss. God bless you all. I'll see you next week, same time, same place.